Hear now the word of our Lord. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which of your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for these words. They've spoken to us. May we hear them well. May we bring them into a part of ourselves. Open our hearts and our minds. And may all their thoughts and words and deeds be pleasing to you, now and forever. Amen. It was on a second ago, sorry. You know, technology happens.
It doesn't happen.
So much of this life is limited by habits and customs and traditions. We all like our traditions and restrictions. But society poses these regulations to guard perhaps our innocent, defend against the reckless, and promote what we call the common good. Environmental safety, consumer product safety, traffic safety are all these perhaps watchwords for the promise of an ongoing conversation. A conversation about a need for private and commercial interests to operate with limits. Limits that will afford reasonable protection for families and communities against possible danger. But such limitations are not bad in and of themselves, because we need to know what material goods have been properly tested or approved. We need to know that corporations are not able to take unfair advantages in their competitive struggle for sales. We must have some sort of guideline. We must have some sort of standard that promotes stability and safety, predictability within our world that is often unpredictable. But what happens when we are confronted with an invitation to enter into this new world, a world defined by mystery and promise of God's gifts of grace and truth? What becomes of old regulations when we encounter a man sent by God who came to his own people? His own people received him not, but to all who received him, who believed in his name. He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood nor of will of the flesh, but of God. And certainly this new kind of conversation is needed to communicate with a new understanding of this potential in our existence. This is the nature of conversation recorded in the Gospel of John. This conversation initiated and directed by the one who came down from heaven in order to raise up new people and to prepare them for this new world. This is a conversation that clarifies and extends a divine invitation to experience this freedom in a new world. A world of the Father announced by the coming of the Son, Jesus Christ. And chapter by chapter in John's Gospel, there's challenges of our habits and our customs and our traditions, our restrictions, by articulating this vision of Jesus for this new world. Jesus' mission is to alter our reality and cause us to hunger and thirst for something new, something different, holy and wonderful. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and this automatically transforms the old order. He is the good thing that came out of Nazareth, who promises you will see heaven opened for you and you will see angels of God ascending and descending. And he tells teachers of the old way, unless you're born again, you won't even be able to see this new world. But those who are ready to respond to his invitation are healed from fevers and blindness and paralysis and so many other things, even death. And he promises this new world is a great house with many rooms, which he assures will be ready for those as he leads the way. And he further assures us that if he makes us free and brings us to our place in the world, we can stay forever. And as the gospel conversation continues, the Holy Spirit works inside all of us, in our hearts, to begin to have faith continuing. The limitations of old world thinking and old world living seem more and more less unnecessary. Jesus is indeed something greater than Abraham, showing us the meaning of true worship in spirit and in truth, needing neither the holy mountain nor the holy city to reach the Father. We have a little side music too, that's exciting. Perhaps we can allow the metaphor of hunger and thirst to represent the growing capacity within people of old world thinking and old world living to respond to this message of Christ. And surely we hunger for something new when you share in the grief and the anger of families who've lost loved ones in whatever the circumstances are, especially in violence and tragedy that we hear about all the time. And surely we are thirsting for something more satisfying than this bitter cup of misery and neglect that so many children in every corner of the world must drink in their lives, in their towns. And surely this kind of hunger and thirst drives us to seek an end to violence that is driven by religious intolerance, ethnic hatred, fueling the fires of terrorism and racism, holding nations and neighborhoods hostage of the warfare of hostilities that seem to never end. We are hungry indeed for peace, thirsting for reconciliation in this old and troubled world. We need something different. We long for a way to overcome social racism and class, sexual identities. We pray for the day when the burden of mistrust is lifted from the backs of those who are different from us, different from them. We are hungry and thirsty for a new world where we can celebrate in this new world gifts of grace and truth and look at one another in the eye and recognize ourselves as family, all of which are children of God. The promise of this new world is set forth in the strongest of possibilities when Christ declares, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, not like your ancestors ate and they died. Because whoever eats this bread will live forever." The words of Jesus are an invitation to come and see that, and that in chapter 6 they become more explicit as they bid the hungry and thirsty to experience this freedom of food in this new world. And in Christ we are already living forever in the world that is rooted and grounded in the love of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are already there. We are already free, and we must continually nourish with this freedom food. And we must take the food and the drink that is a message and a person of Christ and feed on him in our hearts by faith. We must openly celebrate with our lives as God's children and share it with others. It does not yet appear what we shall be. It is not yet fully revealed how we will experience the fullness in this new world. But we do know this. We have a great work to accomplish in the streets and wherever our lives take us. And like Jesus, we are not called to give speeches, but to proclaim freedom to the captives, give sight to blind, life to dying. To feed on Jesus is not only to believe, but also experience this grace and this truth as resources for living a new world as he would ultimately reveal, which is slowly being revealed. And as we receive, we are no longer of the old world, just as he was never of this world. Before his death, he prayed to the Father, "Do not take them out of the world, but keep them from evil. Sanctify them in truth. Bless those who will come to believe because of their word." This word is not a speech. It's rather an invitation to this new world in Jesus Christ. And while living in an old world and kept from evil, nourished with freedom food, we are given this power to become children of God who belong in another world. And thanks be to God that other world has many rooms for many, for all. Let our faith be seen and felt as we participate in the work of setting others free, because one person set free is worth 1,000 speeches. And blessed are those who hunger for the freedom of a new world. Bless those who live lives in the manner of Jesus, sharing with the hungry the food of the freedom and the divine invitation to become children of God. Let us be Christ's hands and feet in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may we continue to do your work, no matter how scary or uncomfortable. May we go out in every place of our lives, our work and our school and our homes. Wherever you may lead us, may we do your work, just as you've blessed us and brought us into your light. May we do the same. Amen.